First things first, OpenAI has revealed text to video, and it's called Sora. Now, this thing is absolutely scary. I know that we've been barreling ahead with technology and artificial intelligence, and OpenAI was the ones that kicked in the door as far as all of this artificial intelligence and ChatGPT and everything like that. They're the company behind it. Microsoft is also a heavy investor in OpenAI. We've seen what happened earlier in the year with regard to OpenAI as far as them ousting their founder and then bringing it back. And so it's a lot going on there, right? It's a whole lot going on with OpenAI. But I think that this is a huge displacement opportunity, especially for news anchors, stock photo footage. So many different people are going to be displaced. But check this out.
It is a beautiful drone shot. The kind of video that you might see in a travel video, right? Except it's not real. There is no drone. There is no camera. You can't travel because the video was generated by AI. It's from a new tool just announced a few hours ago by OpenAI called Sora. All it takes is typing in a short text, a prompt, and in minutes it spits out a 60-second video clip of pretty much anything you can imagine. Brian Chung is here to break this all down for us. This is cool, Brian. I mean, it could mean millions of people, though, could be out of work, right? Because who did all this video and what kind of an impact might it have on the jobs market?
Yeah, I mean, it's really mind-blowing. Some other video that we saw was of a woolly mammoth in a tundra. We also saw a little monster lighting up a candle, and none of it was done by any animators. All you have to do is enter in a text prompt, you hit generate, and it creates what you see in front of you. Again, nothing was shot in this case. It's all AI generated. And obviously, this is of concern in Hollywood, where you have animators, illustrators, visual effects workers who are wondering, how is this going to affect my job? And we have estimates from trade organizations and unions that have tried to project the impact of AI. 21% of U.S. film, TV, and animation jobs predicted to be partially or wholly replaced by generative AI by just 2026, Tom. So this is already happening. And I have to also point out, this tech is from the makers of ChatGPT, so very much a big technological jump for that company.
Yeah, but scary. I mean, Brian, what if I typed in right now, I want Brian Chung to tell me about the stock markets, and then I want him to walk down the street and buy a Starbucks?
You wouldn't need me.
Could it do that?
It might, and you wouldn't need to do me. But here's the thing. There are some things inside the announcement today that came from OpenAI with regards to the way that they would protect you, for example, using my likeness. So usage policies that they already have in place, the company says, will reject violent or hateful images, sexual content, celebrity likenesses, IP of others. They also say that they're engaging policymakers, educators, and artists as they develop and test this technology, which, by the way, OpenAI tells me they don't plan on releasing to the public anytime soon. But regardless, even if they say that, what we've seen is that in practice, it's hard to stop. The issues with the deepfake porn, for example, with Taylor Swift's likeness, just illustrates how difficult it is to police these things. With video, it's very much an issue.
So basically, everything is going to be disrupted. What I'm advising my people is to become investors, because you're not going to stop it. Let's just be clear. You're not going to stop the transition of what's happening. We already kicked open the door, and you're not going to put the genie back in the bottle. And so the best thing for you to do specifically is to be an investor and be at the forefront of it than to be the person that gets displaced as a result of it. And so I already knew it was coming. I see it. We hear a lot of the different things that happen within the industry before it's coming sometimes, especially as a technology professional and being a content creator. I seen Marquise Brownlee do a video on it, and he broke it down a little bit more. And it's just going to continue to improve. And so it's scary. I think it could be scary for a lot of people, especially when you're thinking about the possibility of what you do for a living and how people can be displaced. Again, I think that stock photo, I use stock photo and footage for a lot of the images that I use as cover photos and stuff like that. I'm even thinking about transitioning one of my channels, the Don't Do Coke in the Bathroom channel, into a completely different channel, which we will probably need a lot of stock footage and a lot of stock photo, even though I have subscriptions to things like Adobe, where, you know, I have access to a library of stock photo and footage. But why would I need that when you can basically disrupt what was going on and say, okay, well, type in this prop, create this, 1 minute of video, and then you can go on from there. You know what I'm saying? So it's an interesting thing to see it happening, and it's just going to be a whole new world. Everything is going to continuously change so fast, and instead of rejecting it, the only thing you can do is really embrace it and try to get at the forefront of it. So that's what's happening with that. In addition to that, ladies and gentlemen, the former Hempstead mayor is going to prison. You got to check this out.
Mayor of Hempstead is headed to prison. That sentence comes nearly 6 years after a routine audit uncovered questionable spending at City Hall. KPRC2 investigator Robert Arnold has been on this case since former Mayor Michael Wolf was first charged. He is joining us now live from Hempstead. And Robert, the former mayor initially fought these charges. Tell us about it.
He did. The former mayor was facing a first-degree felony over how he was spending the taxpayers' money, and they were in the middle of trial. Prosecutors called seven witnesses to the stand, and the defense was supposed to start presenting its case today to a jury, but former Mayor Michael Wolf changed his mind and pleaded guilty. At the heart of the case are roads like this one.
In this case, Mayor Wolf, he was using his position and the taxpayer money of the city of Hempstead to benefit himself, his family, his friends, his supporters, and people he liked.
Waller County District Attorney Sean Whitmore says a yearly audit of city finances was the first red flag. It uncovered certain people getting a pass on not paying their utility bills. That led to more questions about how former Mayor Michael Wolf was spending taxpayer dollars. Eventually, prosecutors Bennett Dodson and Elliot Beatty amassed binders full of invoices and maps of road work that was never done or never completed.
Our theory of the case was the system was set up as such where basically everything at City Hall flowed through the mayor.
Prosecutor Bennett Dodson says he totaled more than $2 million worth of road work, all approved by the former mayor and all going to one vendor without any checks and balances.
When you looked at the pattern of these invoices over time and where the work was being done, A, there was absolutely no supervision of the road work, and the city had paid for roads that still don't exist.
Prosecutor Elliot Beatty says Wolf approved all these invoices himself and made sure to keep the amounts low enough to not trigger state bidding laws.
If a project costs more than $50,000, it must be bid out by law. There were invoices for $49,800. $48,900, very suspicious amounts.
After initially pleading not guilty, Wolf's attorney told prosecutors this morning his client had changed his mind and would plead guilty. He was sentenced to 6 years in prison.
He can't go.
Listen. For these public positions and these positions of power where you're getting paid with taxpayer dollars, especially if you're a mayor, city council person, anything that you're using government funds or you're using taxpayer monies, or you out here giving contracts to where you have to basically be audited by prosecutors, the general public, and things like that, you have to be above board. You cannot be sitting up here running the city like a crime boss. And if you are out here thinking that you're about to get rich like Nancy Pelosi, and you a mayor or you're a local elected official and your city is getting ran down and all of this stuff, dog, it only take one situation where you're not operating above board to get you caught up. That may not even necessarily be related to the city that then triggers people wanting to look into your background. We see that happening across the United States of America right now. One of the people that's being held accountable for it is Michael Wolf. And so before y'all decide that y'all want to get these public figures jobs or become a public figure in general, really think about whether or not you are operating above board or it's something that you probably want to keep in your past that you don't want coming to the light. Because the minute that you open up Pandora's box, you can't put it back in and you're going to be ruined forever. And so they not playing with y'all. Even if you think that you're getting away with it for a long enough time, they are not playing no games with y'all, and they are going to hold you accountable. All right? Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, Starbucks is deciding that they want to redesign their stores.
Hi, Sarah. Good morning. The company introducing today its new inclusive stores framework, opening a first location in Washington, D.C., with some key upgrades, including a new point of sale system that will have voice assist and screen magnification and support for language diversity. Customer order boards will give visual updates, new acoustics and lighting features, and power operator doors that are easier to activate from different heights and angles are also included. All newly built and renovated Starbucks stores in the U.S. will incorporate this framework in some capacity in the future as the company looks to grow its U.S. footprint by 4% this year from 16,000 locations, including licensed stores. North America's President Sarah Trilling tells CNBC the expected ROI is meaningful.
I think about it as something that's going to, you know, help us, right, in terms of customer connection. It's going to help us in terms of employee engagement, partner engagement. And so if anything, you know, we're optimistic, you know, that we're going to get a great return on it as well.
Now, I asked Trilling, does this mean you're moving away from formats like drive-through, which have been hugely successful? She says not at all. And in fact, some of these upgrades, like better sound control, will actually help baristas working drive-throughs, as it's apparently awfully loud in there. Worth noting, store conditions were also a sticking point for some of the workers who have organized at Starbucks over the last few years. Sweetgreen and McDonald's are just some other names who have tested out different store formats, including some automated Sweetgreen locations and, of course, the new Cosmix location that McDonald's has, focusing on snacks and drinks. So you're looking at companies trying to really figure out what consumers want, make things better for workers, and also make some money at the same time, guys. Back over to you.
So Starbucks is basically redesigning its stores to be more inclusive. I'm not really sure what that means. Anytime I hear the word inclusive or diversity, equity, and inclusion, or black excellence or black-owned business or anything with regard to women, or separating ourselves based off of the people that decide to patronize the business. That personally is a red flag to me, but it looks like they're just making improvements to the stores, not necessarily a radical redesign, but I'll keep an eye on it because I don't want to support anybody that is hiring people based off of preference and not based off of who's best for the job.